I've come to ask you about Mr. Godfrey Staunton.
You have come, sir, to pry into the secrets of private individuals. You have come to waste the time of men who are more busy than yourself. The moment I am conversing with you, I should be writing a treatise.
I venture the conversation may prove more important. Do you know that tomorrow is the varsity football match?
I have no sympathy with these childish games.
You know that Godfrey Staunton is the most important member of the Cambridge team?
A rugby football match does not at all come within my horizon.
But you know Mr. Staunton, do you not?
He is a good friend of mine.
Then you're aware that he's disappeared?
Ah, indeed.
He left his London hotel last night and has not been heard of.
No doubt he will return.
Do you know where he is?
Certainly not.
You have not seen him since yesterday?
No, I have not.
Is Mr. Staunton a healthy man?
I would say so, absolutely.
Have you ever known him ill?
Never.
Then perhaps you'd care to explain this.
I do not feel there's any reason for me to render an explanation to you, Mr. Holmes.
No. A receipted bill for 13 guineas?
As you say.
Paid last month by Mr. Godfrey Staunton, an impoverished student, to Dr. Leslie Armstrong of Cambridge, his good friend.
You have been raking through Mr. Staunton's private papers, I suppose.
Well, if you prefer a public explanation.
I know nothing about it.
Did you hear from Mr. Staunton while he was in London?
No, I did not.
Dear me, Watson, have I not often remarked upon the slackness of the post office?
Oh, many times.
A most urgent telegram was dispatched yesterday to you, Dr. Armstrong. It was sent from London by Mr. Godfrey Staunton at 6:15 p.m.
I'll trouble you to walk out of my house, sir.
This telegram is undoubtedly associated with Mr. Staunton's disappearance.
You can tell Lord Mount James that I do not wish to have anything to do either with him or with his hired agents.
It really is most culpable that you should not have received so important a telegram. I shall certainly register a complaint on your behalf.
Does that represent a considerable advance along the path of our investigation?
Well, let us take stock, Watson. We are stranded, friendless in this inhospitable town, which we cannot leave without abandoning our case. The recipient of our only vital clue refuses to acknowledge either the telegram or any surprise at Mr. Staunton's disappearance.
And we have been summarily ejected from his house.
Yes, my dear Watson, we have made excellent progress.
I have not seen a man more calculated to fill the gap left by the illustrious Professor Moriarty.
And we may hope that Dr. Leslie Armstrong does not see fit to turn his talents in that direction.
Ah, what an adversary he would make.
I'm astonished that you should hope for a successor to so dangerous a criminal, Holmes. You might as well claim that the public interest is outweighed by the mere thrill of your chase.
No doubt you were. The little inn across the street now,
right?
Singularly adapted to our needs, wouldn't you say?
Admirably.
Be a good fellow. Engage a front room there, will you, and purchase the necessaries for the night.
And you?
I shall have time to make a few inquiries.
No matter where we find ourselves, Watson, you always have the knack of ensuring us a good supper. That's excellent, the pie. Might it have been pigeon?
I've often found that you're far more loquacious after a meal than when your stomach is empty.
Ah, the professional interest of a chronicler, eh?
I burn with curiosity to learn of your inquiries, Holmes.
Well, to tell you the truth, Watson.
They've been out 3 hours. Started at 6:30. And only now are they back again.
That would suggest a drive.
10 or 12 miles. Mm. Now, yes, with a map.
But there must be nearly 50 villages within the radius of 12 miles.
Yes, and farmsteads and isolated cottages in proportion, of which any number could be recipients of Dr. Armstrong's visits. And I'm told he drives out every day, sometimes twice.
That is no unusual thing for a doctor in practice, Holmes.
Yes, but Armstrong does not care for general practice. It distracts him from his literary work. Now, why does a lecturer and consultant make these long journeys, since they must be exceedingly irksome to him? And whom does he visit?
Dr. Armstrong's coachman would be the one to ask.
My dear Watson, can you doubt that it was to him I first applied?
Easy now, girl. Easy, I say.
Excuse me.